So this morning, we are beginning a new sermon series that will carry us through the season of Epiphany called, Can You Hear Me Now? Learning to Hear from God for Ourselves. Following Jesus, in the midst of the challenging season that we find ourselves in, it can feel a bit like a moving target. And so it's critical for us to develop a capacity for listening to what God is saying to us and then responding in faith. And so over the season of Epiphany, we're going to spend the next 7 weeks looking at how God proclaims to the world love and grace and mercy and truth through the life of Jesus and how we can take that and hear from God ourselves. Now we've just celebrated New Year's, and New Year's used to be this time of setting resolutions. I don't know if any of you have set resolutions for the year. I failed at them every year, so I kind of stopped doing that. But on social media and in some of the relationships that I'm a part of, I've seen fewer and fewer people setting resolutions. And I'm seeing this trend now of choosing a word for the year. Maybe you've seen this as well. I've seen people choose words like grace, that would be the word that they would live under for the year, or trust, or abundance, or some other word that really inspires them to live a certain way for that year. And whether that's a practice you decide to do or not, whether you keep doing resolutions or not, I'm going to suggest a word for all of us to live under this year. And it's a word that encapsulates everything God has done, is doing, and will do in Christ. And I think it's a word that we all need to embrace and sit with. And that word is access. Access is defined as the ability, the right, or permission to approach, enter, speak with, or use. Now, built into that definition is the idea that access can be restricted. I can't just walk up to the President of the United States and shake his hand. I can't just walk into your house and open the fridge and pull out some food and sit down on the couch and eat it. Now, some of you might be okay with that, others maybe not, but I can't just assume that I would have access to doing that. I can't just go around randomly hugging strangers, not just from a COVID standpoint, but also from a personal space standpoint. Like, some people just don't like that. The restriction on access is often intentional. We have the Secret Service. We have locks on doors. We have social norms about personal space. And because access is conditional in so many areas of our life, we begin to project onto our relationship with God the idea that access is conditional. Those who have the ability to hear from God has certain restrictions on it, or so we think. In order to hear from God for ourselves, we think that we might need to have a certain level of knowledge, like only those with seminary degrees or advanced biblical training can hear from God. Or we might think we need to live a certain way. Only those who manage their temptations or avoid sin or don't make bad decisions, that they're the ones who can hear from God. We might think that we need to have the right amount of faith, like those who don't have doubts or they don't ask questions, they're the ones that can hear from God. But the reality is that none of that is true. What God has proclaimed to the world through the life of Jesus is that there are no conditions and no restrictions. You don't need to know enough. You don't need to do enough. And in Jesus, you are already enough. The good news that we need to hear is this. You can hear from God because you have unrestricted access to God. The text we're looking at this morning comes from the first reading. It's Paul's letter to the church in Ephesus. But while it was addressed to the church in Ephesus, it was a letter that was intended to be widely read amongst all of the churches that were planted in the first century. And what Paul is trying to do in Ephesus is to present the gospel message not as one restricted to a particular group of people, but one that was intended for all. Regardless of education, regardless of culture, regardless of heritage. Now, Paul himself had been a very religious man. He had been a member of a group called the Pharisees, and it was one of the groups that had rejected Jesus as Messiah, who believed that the true Messiah was coming that was solely for the Jewish people. That those who did not practice a rigid form of Judaism were restricted from truly experiencing the relationship that God intended to have with all people. And if you track Paul's story in the book of Acts, the history of the early church, you find out that through divine intervention, Paul's perspective on Jesus as Messiah was radically changed. He places his faith because of a vision that he has of a Jesus who offers unrestricted access to hearing from God. And so he writes this letter to communicate to those in Ephesus and beyond, both of Jewish and non-Jewish religious heritage, those who were called the Gentiles, of which we would include ourselves in as well, that there are no conditions, there are no restrictions, that all are one in Christ, and that was God's plan from the beginning. Paul says in verse 6, this plan is that the Gentiles would be co-heirs and parts of the same body, and that they would share with the Jews in the promises of God in Christ through the gospel. This was the reason that God had called Paul, a former Pharisee, to proclaim good news to the Gentiles, with whom he previously would have had no use for, to demonstrate that all can hear from God, that all have access to God. God demonstrated this in the life of Jesus, particularly this morning in the birth of Jesus that we celebrate in Epiphany, this aspect of Jesus' birth. Because who was drawn to Jesus? Yes, we read about the shepherds who were drawn to Jesus on Christmas Eve, but not only do we see shepherds witnessing the birth of Christ, we also hear about these wise men, these magi, who come to the baby Jesus, who present gifts as the means of honoring Jesus as the King of the Jews. Now, we don't know a ton about these guys, who they were. We just really know what Matthew tells us about them. And he says this in the beginning of chapter 2. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." So when the Bible talks about people coming from the east, It's a metaphor or an indication that these people were coming from a world that the people of God deemed lost. Geographically, these guys probably came from Persia. They were likely priests in the Zoroastrian religion that believed that God communicated through the movement of the stars. These were definitely not people that you would think would be acceptable to come and worship a Jewish Messiah. And yet God meets them where they are, in their religion, in their faith, in their looking to the stars for truth. And he speaks to them in a language that they would understand. And he draws them to Jesus. They were able to hear from God for themselves, because they were given unrestricted access to God. What do you believe about your access to God? Do you think that there's special knowledge you have to have? Do you think there is something you have to do or stop doing? Do you think that God only speaks to those with right beliefs, who don't ask questions or have doubts? What do you believe about your ability to hear from God for yourself? Paul says something interesting about himself in this letter. He says, God gave his grace to me, the least of all God's people, to preach the good news about the immeasurable riches of Christ to the Gentiles. The least of all God's people, and yet here's a guy who was religious. He was following what he thought was the truth. And yet his adherence to a religion that was about God had driven a wedge between him and God. Not only had he rejected Jesus as Messiah, but he had persecuted and even sanctioned the deaths of those who had faith in Jesus. If there was anyone who was too far from Jesus to be given access to God, it was Paul. And yet, like the men who were drawn by a star to the newborn Jesus, Paul is drawn by a blinding light to the risen Jesus. And by faith, he trusted that vision, and he sees his life radically changed by the proclamation that he, along with everybody else, has unrestricted access to God. In our tradition, as Lutheran Christians, you know, Luther, he was pretty radical. We reject the notion that we need something to mediate our relationship with God, that we need clergy or liturgy or sacraments to give us access to God. No, that is not our faith. That is not our tradition. Those help connect us to God, but they don't give us access to God. We can hear from God for ourselves because we have unrestricted access to God. I know this might go against some of what you were taught growing up, but I hope you understand, and I hope I do a lot to try to divorce people of this notion. There is no difference between me and you. I have no special connection with God that you don't have access to. I'm no closer to God, no more special, no more holy than any of you. What I have is a vocation in the church, but so do you. My role may be critical in the church, but so is yours. Paul illustrates the reason for this in verse 10. He says, God's purpose is now to show the rulers and powers in the heavens the many different varieties of his wisdom through the church. We live in a world where there are powers and forces at play that seek to divide, that seek to declare who is in and who is out, who has access and who does not, who can hear from God and who cannot. And what God has done in Christ is drawn together in the church a variety of perspectives, a variety of backgrounds, a variety of experiences. No one with more access to God than anybody else, not even the pastor. Because of what God has done in Christ, drawing all people, regardless of religiosity, knowledge, and background, you and I are equal in that we have unrestricted access to God. And if there is a difference between me and some of you, or those who seem so confident in their faith and those maybe who struggle, is just that. It's not a difference of access. It may just be a difference of confidence in that access. The way that I've grown in confidence in hearing from God for myself had nothing to do with my seminary education, had nothing to do with my spiritual formation in the ordination process. When the bishop laid hands on me, that made me no more confident in my access to God than I was before that moment. The way I've grown in confidence in hearing from God for myself is by taking the steps needed to listen. That best first step is by engaging in what God has already said through Scripture, through the narrative of God's relationship with humanity. And so if you want to grow in confidence in hearing from God for yourself, because you can, it starts by listening. It starts by putting yourself in the position to hear. And as I've read Scripture over the years, the metaphor, the cliche that I've really embraced is that we don't read Scripture. Scripture reads us. Scripture reveals in us what is true about God and what is true about our situation. And so I've learned to allow Scripture to read me, meaning that when I read a passage, the Holy Spirit that was imparted to all of us in our baptism, the same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead and lives inside of us, that Spirit, as I read Scripture, begins to produce reactions in me. There's responses in me that come in me. As I read Scripture, I pay attention to those reactions, those emotions, those thoughts, those feelings of challenge. Those images, I slow down enough just to take note. What's the word jumping off the page that I need to pay attention to? This entire sermon was based off of one word in Ephesians 3. It's the word access. And as I began to dwell in that word, the sermon came together. And then as these responses begin to happen, it's important to be grounded in the context of a community of people that I can talk about this with, where I can learn to interpret and apply what I'm hearing from God for myself. Because in a group, you interact with different perspectives, with the varieties of God's wisdom. And in doing so, you grow in confidence in your ability to hear from God for yourself, because you have unrestricted access to God. And not just unrestricted, but as Paul says in verse 12 of Ephesians 3, he says, in Christ we have bold and confident access to God through faith in him. So as we move into the new year, I want to challenge you to live under the word access by adopting a rhythm of learning to hear from God for yourself. And a great way to start is with a daily time of reading the Bible. So we're going to help you with that. I'd like you to get out your cell phones. Grab your cell phones, get them out if you have them with you. And sometime in the last few days, you got a text message from the church talking about the Journey Through John campaign. It's a 24-day plan to read through the Gospel of John. It's accompanied with a devotion that goes along with it. You can access that through the Bible app by YouVersion, or you can do it on your computer if you're not an app person. But if you want to learn how to hear from God for yourself, a commitment to a daily rhythm of reading Scripture is a great way to start. So I want you to do two things, if you haven't done these already. The first is I want to make sure you're receiving these text messages. So if you're looking through your phone and you haven't gotten that text message from 248-845-3131, that's our mass text number. If you haven't gotten that, some people have confused it with my text message, because I'm usually the one that, or my phone number. If you call that, you won't actually reach me, but if you text it, you will. So if you have not, if you're not receiving those text messages, there's up on the screen, there's the number, 248-845-3131. Simply text in all caps, join, and that will subscribe you. Most of you should be subscribe to it, but just to be sure if you're not. And you'll receive, whenever we have urgent text, like last week we didn't have worship, we pushed it out through the, or we worshiped online, we pushed it out through the text message service. Other urgent notifications. You're not going to get me blowing you up on your phone all the time, I promise. Then the second thing. If you're in on the Journey Through John campaign, if you haven't done this yet, some of you have. We've got about, I think, 27 people have signed up for this campaign so far, which is amazing. If you haven't, let us know that you're in on it. Simply text John in all caps to that same number. You can do it right now during worship if you haven't done so already. And I'm going to be using this text message app throughout the campaign for the folks who've signed up to connect with you, to support you, to encourage you, and to find ways to connect you with others who are on this same journey over the next few weeks. Whatever word you pick for 2022, even if you pick no word for this year, in Christ, we all live under the same word. Access. You can hear from God for yourself because you have unrestricted access to God.